Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to talk with Dr. Chris Bergwald about the latest apostolic exhortation from Pope Francis. It's an introductory conversation this morning. We'll talk more about it again next week, so hope you'll stick around. It's an interesting document and very relevant to each and every one of us. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Barb Buckmiller with the first and second reading, and Monsignor Charles Mangan with the Gospel.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. Then Barnabas took charge of him and brought him to the apostles, and he reported to them how he had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. He moved about freely with them in Jerusalem, and spoke out boldly in the name of the Lord. He also spoke and debated with the Hellenists, but they tried to kill him. And when the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him on his way to Tarsus. The church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria was at peace. It was being built up and walked in for the fear of the Lord. And with the consolation of the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers. The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. John. Children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. Now this is how we shall know that we belong to the truth and reassure our hearts before him in whatever our hearts condemn. For God is greater than our hearts and knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence in God and receive from him whatever we ask. Because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him, and his commandment is this, we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Those who keep his commandments remain in him and he in them. And the way we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit he gave us. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does he prunes, so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me, as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, Father John Rutten recently celebrated Mass at Harrisburg High School for members of the Harrisburg Catholic community on Divine Mercy Sunday. Bishop Paul J. Swain that day had decreed the establishment of St. John Paul II Parish in Harrisburg. The new parish shall be bounded by 270th Street or South 85th Street in Sioux Falls on the north, 276th Street on the south, the Iowa-Dakota border and the Big Sioux River on the east, and Interstate 29 on the west. As part of the bishop's decree, Father John Rutten is appointed as the inaugural pastor of St. John Paul II Parish. You can read and see more about the decree of the new parish in the May edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now, or soon, I should say, and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, retired Archbishop Joseph A. Fiorenza of the Archdiocese of Galveston-Houston joined other religious leaders in paying tribute to Barbara Bush recently during a ceremony described as a celebration of life in front of Houston City Hall. He described the former First Lady as a faithful citizen. Besides being an outstanding wife and mother, the Archbishop focused on her life of service that continued long after she left the White House when her husband George H.W. Bush served as the 41st President of the United States from 1989 to 1993. Barbara Bush, the wife of the nation's 41st President and mother of the 43rd President, died at her home in Houston April 17th at the age of 92. A recent editorial in a weekly publication of the Archdiocese of San Salvador argues that the canonization of Blessed Oscar Romero should be held in El Salvador around World Youth Day, which will take place in January in nearby Panama. Since Pope Francis would already be in Panama for World Youth Day, it makes sense that he, quote, also come to our country and realize the long-awaited pontifical visit to celebrate the solemn ceremony of the canonization of Blessed Oscar Romero, said the editorial in the issue of Orientacion. It would mark a great spiritual moment in the history of the country and would recall that a great shepherd lived among us, said the editorial released on the fourth Sunday of the Easter season, known as Good Shepherd Sunday. Cones raised in the air, the crowd gathered for dinner at the San Egidio Community's Soup Kitchen and toasted Pope Francis on his name day, the Feast of St. George. The gelato was offered by the Pope, born Jorge Mario Bergoglio, as part of his name day celebration, April 23rd. He provided 3,000 servings of ice cream, mostly vanilla cones with chocolate and nuts on top, but also a few pistachio cones and a couple of strawberry ones to soup kitchens and homeless shelters around Rome. It's not like gelato is the only thing he gives away, said Ruggiero, who passed on the cones because he said at his age, 70-something, I'm watching my physique. Everything the Pope does, he does for the poor, Ruggiero told Catholic News Service. And then there's his smile. Alberto, roughly the same age, was seated next to Ruggiero for the dinner, which began with a course of gnocchi, then moved on to the main course of veal and potatoes, and would normally have finished with fruit. Oranges were the day's offering. It's a very charming gesture, said Alberto, as he unwrapped his cone at the kitchen in Rome's Trastevere neighborhood. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Well, you can't go wrong with gelato.
Gelato, yeah. That's
really
a good deal.
Really can't go wrong. Great way to honor his name day. So.
Exactly.
Thanks for the news, Gene. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Dr. Chris Bergwald, and we are going to dive into the latest document by the Holy Father. It is an apostolic
exhortation,
which is not the highest level.
Correct.
But it is a document from him that has a lot of merit to it. We wanted to spend a little time talking about it. I said to you before we started that I was surprised it hasn't gotten more attention so far. Came out 3-4 weeks ago, something like that, and haven't heard a lot about it.
Nope. No, I think, and I'll explain why what I mean by this. I think it's just because it's in a sense very Catholic. What do I mean by that? He's talking about holiness. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not talking about, and honestly, like some of the initial, I think more secular headlines were on things that in a secular context would get play.
Right.
But the theme of holiness per se is not a secularly popular topic, if you will, I think, Jerry.
And it's funny because that's maybe exactly what I liked about it and why I felt really, good reading it or drawn to reading it, maybe is the way to say that, because I felt like it had application
for
all kinds of people, not just me, but for everybody, kind of regardless of where you're at on the faith journey.
To me, this, absolutely. And to me, this is prototypical Francis, and at his best, at least in the main, in the sense that one thing that has distinguished Pope Francis from the beginning of his papacy is a certain style, which is by and large very understandable and very relatable to. And I wanted to give some examples of this when we dive in, but I think that's why, again, I think it's him at his best. I mean, I love when they announced that this exhortation was coming out, and they said the Latin title is Gaudete et Exultate, which in English is, it's from Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, the first words of this document, rejoice and be glad, rejoice and exult. Mm-hmm. And I just love that. As a title for a document on holiness, it's not be sad and downtrodden.
Yeah, exactly. And we've talked about this in other ways regarding other things. true holiness is attainable by everybody.
Yep.
And in it, you find joy.
Yep. Amen.
And that's just the good news.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I don't know if we could, we could almost, if we didn't have more time to fill, Jerry, we could almost stop right there. It's attainable by everybody, and when we live it, it's joyful. It gives us great joy. That's absolutely what holiness is, and the way that he talks about this, especially to me in the first chapter, which is on the call to holiness. You want it when you're reading what he says. It does make it sound attainable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that's desirous.
And yet not glossing over the challenges of life.
Right, absolutely. Yep.
There's enough of that in there that you get the sense he knows kind of what people are dealing with.
Yep, absolutely.
In a lot of different ways.
So just a couple of things, if you don't mind, about the title that I want to point out. So it's you sort of highlighted it's exhortation. Francis seems to like exhortations, which fits with, so an exhortation is a call, like exhorting. You're exhorting somebody. So he's calling us to do something. In his papacy, he's written two encyclicals, which are higher, more teaching style of document.
Mm-hmm.
But this is now at least the third exhortation, I think. And the two documents that he's written that I've liked most, just my personal opinion, idiosyncrasies, have both been two of his exhortations: the Joy of the Gospel, Evangelii Gaudium, and even what I've read in this. This is also, I think, my favorite so far. Gaudete et exultate. Again, I think he sort of had me at the title, rejoice and exult.
And the subtitle is important as well. It's on the call to holiness in the contemporary world. Again, recognizing that there's stuff going on out there.
Yep.
But that holiness is still possible.
It's still attainable.
And in fact, is the preferable way to live.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's a great distinction too, or a great point to make, that this is not just, Oh, of course it's possible. No, but you should want to be holy. Not just it's possible for you to be holy, but you should want to be holy. And he lays out very, to me, clear examples of what that looks like.
All right. Well, enough introduction. I think it's time we dive into a little bit. Again, in the very open, he says, "The Lord asks everything of us, and in return he offers us true life, the happiness for which we were created."
Amen.
That's a great little summary
there. It is. So he does. It's challenging to be. He asks everything of us. It's you're all in with Jesus Christ or not. It's one or the other. But in return, we experience true life, the happiness for which we were created. And I think even that latter clause, we've talked a lot before. The church has been talking for a long time about happiness. But I think it's worth underlining again, this is the reason for which God created us, to be happy. This is the good news of the gospel.
Well, and sometimes you hear people say, well, I just don't know how to be happy. I don't know how to find joy. Guess what? Here's a bit of a roadmap for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. We've got a way for you.
Yeah.
The way,
yeah.
actually.
Yeah, absolutely right.
For me, the next sentence then too also really struck me. He wants us to be saints and not, so what does that mean? He wants us to be saints. Okay, great, saints, I've heard of that. And not to settle for a bland and mediocre existence. I love, because that, so what it means to be a saint is not to live a bland and mediocre existence. Saints' existence is full of happiness and joy and exaltation. And I think too much today, Jerry, in our contemporary society, it's interesting because what's held up to us is the idea of live life to the full. And yet for most of us, I think we've settled for bland and mediocre. Yeah. And the church is saying, Jesus Christ is saying, Pope Francis is saying to us, there's more to life than this.
Mm-hmm.
And to be a saint means to not settle for that.
And then he goes on in this beginning, in the chapter one, and he draws on the saints, doesn't he? I mean, he invites us to consider all kinds of saints who have done exactly what he is going to tell us about.
Yep, exactly. He exemplifies what he's saying.
The great cloud of witnesses, he draws from the Hebrews line.
Yep. So the first chapter then is on the call to holiness. And there were a ton of things that I really liked in here. Just,
I know you starred some things, so you want to share with us.
Star some things. I'm going to skip ahead and we can work backward. But there's one section, just the subheadings for this chapter: the saints who encourages and accompany us, the saints next door. I like that too. The Lord calls, and then for you too. And there's one article. So by the way, if you're listening to this and you're like, well, where can I read this document for myself? Anywhere on the internet, pretty much. I mean, it's at the Vatican, but if you just do an internet search for Pope Francis holiness, you'll probably find it. You could search for, Gaudete et Exultate. How do you spell that? But just search for Rejoice and Be Glad, Pope Francis. You should be able to find it, right?
That's how I found it. Actually, it took me to the Vatican website, and I was able to print it off.
Yep, exactly.
From there, it's available to do that.
So, Article 16, Jerry, is the one. This is under the subsection for you too. So the call to holiness is an option for you as well. And what I love about this, and it really does fit in many ways with Pope Francis's approach, before we look at the article, patience in what God is calling us to do, which is so contrary, at least to our American culture. You know, I've said for a long time, and many people have observed, we love microwaves, not crock pots when it comes to what we do. We want instant results. Pope Francis, though, reminds us that good things need to simmer and cook, bake, whatever you want to say, for a while. So Article 16 begins, this call to holiness to which this holiness to which the Lord calls you, not us, not people, he calls you, will grow through small gestures. Here's an example. And then the rest of this article, which I'm going to read, he just follows this example of a theoretical woman through the course of her day, and just to give examples of the little things that she can do, small gestures to grow in holiness. So here's an example. He says, a woman goes shopping. She meets a neighbor and they begin to speak and the gossip starts. But she says in her heart, no, I will not speak badly of anyone. This, Pope Francis says, is a step forward in holiness. Mm-hmm. Right off the bat, I started that right away.
I did the whole paragraph. I did the whole paragraph. And my word was practical.
Exactly.
Because it is so practical in terms of any of us.
Yep. So she avoids the temptation to gossip, and this is a step forward in holiness, the Pope tells us. He goes on, later at home, one of her children wants to talk to her about his hopes and dreams, and even though she is tired, she sits down and listens with patience and love. That is another sacrifice that brings holiness. Mm-hmm. Amen. I mean, I can think of conversations I've had with coworkers in this building about we've talked before, Jerry. My kids are younger than some others in the building. My oldest is just a 13-year-old. But about the need, especially as they grow up, to listen. Mm-hmm. And even when you're tired, if you're exhausted, the importance of listening. And the Pope says that is a small gesture, a small step towards holiness. Mm-hmm. Later, she experiences some anxiety, but recalling the love of the Virgin Mary, she takes her rosary and prays with faith, yet another path of holiness. What do we do with anxiety? We usually dwell on it or whatever it is, but the act of recognizing I'm anxious, I'm going to pray. In this case, pray in a rosary, another path of holiness. And finally, later still, she goes out onto the street, encounters a poor person, and stops to say a kind word to him. One more step.
Yeah.
I love that article.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's probably about the moment when I'm reading this when I went, wow, this really is for absolutely every one of us. It doesn't matter where you're at on the faith journey. We all need to grow in holiness, and we all can grow in holiness, even by these small steps, seemingly inconsequential steps.
Seemingly inconsequential. And that fits, too, with some of the things that we skipped over there at the beginning of chapter one.
Yeah.
Yes, there are the saints who have been canonized and so on, but then there are those saints next door that he talks about.
Yeah, and he talks about why no one is saved alone, an isolated individual. Rather, God draws us to himself, taking into account the complex fabric of interpersonal relationships present in a human community. The saints weren't saints in isolation.
No,
and
absolutely.
And the ones that aren't canonized who are saints don't do it in isolation.
No, yep.
That's I think what he's talking about. And therefore, we can be those saints as well.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, I start that as well, just because of the emphasis on community. I think it's so important for us to hear today that we tend to that rugged individualism, and there's some truth to that, but in many other ways, we really do depend on one another. And certainly that includes for the call to holiness.
You've mentioned this before. I was caught by some of the such interesting phrasing that that Francis uses. He uses one in that section of the Saints Next Door. He says, talking about some of these neighbors and some of these saints next door, we might call them the middle class of holiness.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, something we can relate to and kind of make sense to us.
Exactly. Also in that section, he talks about how so often people who are living out lives of humility have a real impact on the world, but it's not known. It's not recognized. This is Article 8. And he quotes from Edith Stein, St. Teresa Benedict of the Cross. The greatest figures of prophecy and sanctity step forth out of the darkest night. But for the most part, the formative stream of the mystical life, the life of sanctity, in other words, remains invisible. Certainly the most decisive turning points in world history are substantially co-determined by souls whom no history book ever mentions. Mm-hmm. And we will only find out about the souls to whom we owe the decisive turning points in our personal lives on the day when all that is hidden is revealed. Jerry, I've thought about that. Actually, it wasn't long ago. This is one reason why this really struck me. So this is, again, St. Teresa Benedict of the Cross, Edith Stein, being quoted by Pope Francis. I know that where I am today is due to the prayers that have been said for me that I have no idea about. People who, for me when I was a young man, I was discerning the priesthood for a time. So I'm from a small town in central Minnesota, and I knew that there were ladies at church praying that I would become a priest. And that wasn't God's will for my life, but I know that where I am today is a fruit of prayers of those prayers, and prayers just like those said by people who I have no idea. Eventually, one day, I will find out. But during the course of my earthly life, I'll have no idea.
So that sense of communion, so important. Yep. And again, something we're all called to partake in as well, right?
Exactly. We're all called to do that.
I was thought, the next section, and I don't know where you're going next, but the next section there is number 9. I thought right away, he talks about holiness is the most attractive face of the church. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because the image that popped into my head was Sister Jean, the sister who just became so famous during the NCAA basketball tournament.
Yes, right? Yes.
What was so attractive about her? She's a 98-year-old nun who was following her college basketball team.
Right.
But there was something about her that people found incredibly attractive.
Yep, absolutely.
And were drawn to her.
Yep.
I think that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, and when I read that, I was reminded of something that Pope Benedict had said decades ago, well before he was Pope, that today one of the most effective ways to evangelize the church's most effective quote-unquote arguments are holiness. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of her saints and the beauty of her churches and her art. So I think there of our cathedral next door to the building we're in right now, the beauty of the church's buildings and art and so on, but even more so, the beauty of her saints, the beauty of holiness, the splendor of holiness that radiates from people who are seeking to live it.
Yeah. And too often, again, I don't want to dwell on this too much, but I'm not sure we can dwell on it too much. We think about those saints and we honor them and we think highly of them, and they are witnesses for us. And sometimes we then think that that's unachievable for us. And what I think the Holy Father is really trying to get at with this whole document is that, yes, they're wonderful witnesses for us, but what they did, we can attain.
Exactly. We can't. It is possible. And that's where, so that actually flows. So the next article begins this section, The Lord Calls. And it's almost like, so the introduction there at the beginning, these first parts of chapter 1, he's sort of laying some groundwork, but then he writes this. All this, so everything he said so far, all this is important. Yet, with this exhortation, I would like to insist primarily on the call to holiness that the Lord addresses to each of us, the call that he also addresses personally to you.
Mm-hmm.
Be holy, for I am holy. Quote from Scripture, Leviticus and 1 Peter. So I love that. You see, and he says right away in this document, this is not a treatise on holiness, right, per se. It's not some sort of high academic
this
discussion.
It's not heavy theological
exactly.
language.
Right. He's already said there are canonized saints, there are saints next door. And yet, what I want to talk about is how you, singular, you and I are called to be holy. And I just love that he sort of pauses here as we're getting into the document to remind us that I'm talking about you, mm-hmm. reader, mm-hmm. you, Chris, you, Jerry, mm-hmm. About how the Lord each addresses each one of us and calls us to holiness.
I was struck, again, I know we're jumping around just a little bit, but in that section, number 15, where he uses the words, Lord, I am a poor sinner, but you can work the miracle of making me a little better. And what struck me there is that I think we sometimes have a tendency when we are in trouble or when we are frustrated with our own sin of leading to despair or potentially leading to despair. And I think his challenge there to us is, no, call to the Lord, even if it's a very small step. Ask him to help you make it.
Exactly. Yeah. So earlier we quoted that example. He's of the woman who avoids gossip mm-hmm. and who listens to her child when she's tired. And just examples of those little ways. And yet there's big ways too. I love in Article 17, he gives the example from a Vietnamese cardinal who is imprisoned. Pope Francis says he refused to waste time waiting for the day he would be set free. Instead, he chose to live the present moment, filling it to the brim with love. He decided, I will seize the occasions that present themselves every day. I will accomplish ordinary actions in an extraordinary way. I just love that.
I do too. Chris, we talked offline before we started today that we may have to take this into a part two. And I think we will do that because there's so much more.
Are we already out of time?
We are out of time already. So next week we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about the document. We got through 5 pages out of 50, so you know we're doing really, really well.
We'll have to pick up the pace, I think, though.
But I think importantly, we've set the stage. Yeah. Hopefully we've whet the appetite for people to want to read this. Again, it's called Rejoice and Be Glad. It's the apostolic exhortation from Pope Francis out about 3 or 4 weeks ago. So look it up and we'll come back and talk more about it next week with Dr. Chris Bergwell.
Sounds good.
Gene, May is right around the corner.
It's hard to believe that April's already done.
Honor St. Joseph, of course, on May 1st, and the Cathedral has a couple things planned.
Cathedral Arts Series is wrapping up another year of concerts. The Sacred Arts Series will host the Cathedral Choir May 2nd this week at the Cathedral of St. Joseph in the Founders Concert at 7 o'clock, and then 2017-2018 season closes with a second performance by vocal ensemble Transept coming up May 15th at 7 p.m. Tickets are available at both concerts for both presentations online at www.sfcatholic.org/SAS.
Great place
at the door.
Great place to see a concert, too, so take advantage of that. That's our time for Catholic Views today. We'll be back next Sunday.